God is life, and he created life, and life is so much deeper than we even can fathom.
Welcome to the special edition, this Christmas edition of Straight Talk on Life Issues. I'm your host, Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
And I'm your co-host, Victor Nieves. Welcome to our very special program, a Christmas celebration. Today, we'll be talking about the true meaning of Christmas and how pro-life pregnancy centers and maternity homes bring happy tears to women and families.
You know, Victor, this is going to be a very uplifting program. Everyone who knows me knows that by far this is my favorite time of year. And there's great joy in celebrating Christmas. We celebrate a baby, and babies and Christmas are my two loves in life. This is the time of year we celebrate that God was made flesh. God dwelt among us. And God taking on human flesh to carry out his perfect plan of redemption for all of mankind.
Amen. And we believe that humans, no matter how small, have intrinsic worth, value, and beauty because people are made in the image of God.
You are so right, Victor. Christmas has a deep meaning. A woman who chose to obey God in the face of what seemed to be insurmountable challenges, and she gave life to her unborn son, God's son, and then he gave his life so that you and I could be given eternal life.
That's right. And so, of course, we have lots to celebrate about. Today, we'll be talking about the joys of Christmas with Pastor Lloyd Pulley. He served as senior pastor of Calvary Chapel Old Bridge in central New Jersey for 40 years. We'll also be joined by Dolly Nykirk. She's always had a passion for the pro-life movement and protecting the unborn, and she became executive director for Life House Maternity Home back in 2019. We're also joined by Faith Centron. She started her career as a live-in house mother at Cornerstone Young Women's Learning Center in Illinois, and in 2016, she began working for Aid for Women.
So Lloyd, Faith, and Dolly, thank you for joining us for this special Christmas program.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Pastor Lloyd, let's start with you. Tell us about the Christmas story. I never tire hearing about it.
I don't either. It is one of the most amazing accounts of God's tender mercies. And Luke, of course, I think covers a lot of it in detail, that you just get the feel, the flow of it. You get the angel visiting Mary and just the surprise, her thankfulness. But then Joseph is another story. You know, he gets word and it's not good news for him, because he's thinking all the problems and, oh my goodness, and I've got to put her away. And one of my favorite passages in Matthew 1:19 is when the angel appears to him and says, don't be afraid to take her as your betrothed wife, you know, for that which is in her is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And you'll call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And I can't think of a better summation of the very life of that baby, the very name given, save us from our sins, which implies sin is the biggest problem. It implies that he came to save, and only he can, and we can't save ourselves. So that really, in a nutshell, is a picture of it. And of course, all of the other, you know, aspects of her greeting Elizabeth, even in the womb, the awareness of the baby leaped in her womb when she was greeted and knew that John the Baptist in Elizabeth's womb was already, you know, the forerunner of the Messiah. It's a beautiful picture. And of course, Simeon and all the other accounts there in the temple, God wants to put an exclamation point on what was all predicted from Genesis has now come to fruition. And everything written about it since then goes back to that focal point of he came so we could come to him. He came to us.
You know, and you mentioned the message of don't be afraid to Joseph. That was kind of a central theme, because Mary heard that message, Joseph heard that message, and then the lowly shepherds whom the angels announced the birth to first. I always thought that was so cool that God did it that way. And of course, their message was don't be afraid. And we hear that, of course, throughout scripture, but I think we need to be reminded of it, both in the Christmas story and through our Christian lives. Thank you, Lloyd. To you, Pastor, what does the sanctity of human life mean?
Well, God is life, and he created life, and life is so much deeper than we even can fathom. First of all, there's a lot of origin of life, you know, research right now by people that say that we can kind of create this in a test tube, and we're not far with all of our AI technology to be able to reproduce this, which is nothing more than fabrication, because it just can't be done. God is the only one that can make it. In fact, the complexity is so deep that they are saying there's not enough molecules, there's not enough atoms in the universe. If you ran the process 20 times over, 1,000 times over, for life to occur, God gave life, and it's unique, it's precious, and the whole fertilization process, you know, it's sad because even in the dictionary, they've tried to change the definition of conception as only when it's planted in the womb, and it's just a little bit of a, you know, watershed issue. They're trying to get us away from when God conceived. And if you go to the pro-life, you know, display in Kentucky at the Answers in Genesis Museum, amazing technology that shows you at the moment of conception, there's a burst of photon energy that comes forth. It's almost like what we were clothed in light before sin came into the world, and that we fell from that. It's like the little picture of God's image stamped upon us. I believe that's the sanctity of it. That's the sanctified means set apart, like unique. We are different from the animals. But even so, we're different from angels, because the animals can't have a relationship with God. And the angels, there's no place in the Bible that says God loves the angels. They're ministering spirits, powerful, much more than us, intelligent, way beyond us. But relationship, God made us out of the dust of the earth, and he created us for relationship. And the potential of that life, because in the loins of every person is not just their own children, but generations. And when I think they were holding baby Moses and made a decision, he was purposeful. There's a reason. He's a beautiful child. We're gonna do what it takes to keep this child. That set in course the whole history of the Jewish people. So, you know, you look at God's faithfulness through that one life. That one soul is precious. We don't know what God can do through that one life.
You know, when you mentioned we were made out of dust, it caused me to think about the manger scene and how our Savior was born into the dust and dirt of the stable there.
Pastor Lloyd, looking at scripture, when did the killing of babies begin?
Oh my, it seems to be some sort of a death cult that has always followed paganism. And they look at babies as if, you know, that everything's revolved around my success and my prosperity. And if it costs the life of a baby, you know, to get prosperous, I mean, even in Israel, in their backslidden state, I mean, they found in archaeological digs skeletons of babies in the walls that people would have a baby and sacrifice it, and then they'd put the baby's body in the walls thinking it would bless their home. Just horrific. But, you know, look, it's no different. You know, sacrificing a Molech in the past, even among the Jewish people, you know, if a child was potentially going to be king, you know, that off with him. You know, children were only valued when people truly were repentant before God, and they saw the potential of that life and realized that what we're made to do is to love, and love is selfless. Love is selfless. You don't learn love by yourself. You do it, you learn it with others, and particularly passing on to the next generation.
Lloyd, what do you think would have happened if Mary had chosen abortion? How would have that affected her life and ours?
Well, we could pretty much say goodbye to a lot of our institutions that were formed out of the heart of God changing souls. If he didn't go to the cross, if he wasn't born, he couldn't go to the cross. If he didn't go to the cross, we're still in our sin, and we have no hope at all in the world.
You know, Lloyd, I've always admired Joseph for the way that he responded to Mary's pregnancy with courage and love. What do you think would happen if all of the men in the world would respond to an unexpected pregnancy as Joseph did?
Oh, my. You know, well, we've discovered even on our unit that we put out in front of Planned Parenthood, and since we started in 2019, we've seen 1,500 babies saved. And what we've discovered is this. We discovered that 80% of the women that come aboard our unit that see their baby on an ultrasound and hear that heartbeat, they choose life. They choose to keep that baby. A number of those women also are the gospel, because we're gospel-centered. I mean, and more pastors need to be more vocal about it. And women in their congregations are in church and have found God because of the shame and guilt they had to suffer, and they came to the only shelter from that, which was Jesus. But we discovered that not just 80% when the mom comes aboard, but when the father of the child comes aboard that unit and hears that heartbeat and sees that, 100%. Every man that has come on with that woman has chosen life. If something goes into a man, he turns into protect mode. But men can easily lie to themselves and not think of the truth and put it out of mind. And We can be very self-centered, egocentric, but when we see that, we see that baby, we hear that heartbeat. We had a 17-year-old young man with a 15-year-old girlfriend come aboard our unit. You know, we have a beautiful young 4-foot-9-inch fireball Hispanic lady that kind of meets them outside. She grabbed them before they got into the Uber, brought them over to our unit, came aboard, and they came off that unit. They were smiling ear to ear. He had said to her, he said, listen, I know your parents are going to let us get married right now, but I'm going to work a job. I'm going to work two jobs. I'm going to save money. Wait for you. Wait for when we can get married. This is our family. And she was smiling like crazy. And that's the kind of thing you see. And I get goosebumps because most people don't realize that we get unsolicited pictures of the babies from moms that send it to us and saying, thank you for being there. I almost made the biggest mistake of my life. And I wouldn't have this beautiful, and most of those children are well attended. They're taken care of. They're not desperate. We've had some desperate stories, you know, we've had some challenges, but hey, the man makes the difference.
Big time. Lloyd, put on your pastor cap, your father cap, your man cap, and tell me what you would say to a person, woman or man, who have chosen abortion.
I would say, don't waste that sorrow. And it's sorrow indeed, because when you come to grips after you stop trying to cover it and you come to grips with what you did, you'll realize it was sin. It was evil. It was wrong. And the post-traumatic, you know, feeling that women go through, and even men. I've had men crying their eyes out in my office about their remembrance of forcing their girlfriend and not have that child. I'll tell you, the regret is huge, but don't make it a vain regret. Make it a regret that leads you to life, because your story then and the change in your heart could influence many others. Acknowledge it as sin, take it to the cross, and the Lord will turn that sorrow into joy as God uses your pain to minister to others.
Very well said. Very well said. Faith and Dolly, you both serve at a pregnancy center and maternity home. I'd like to ask you both this question. Let's start with you, Dolly. How is Lifehouse Maternity Home celebrating Christmas with women and children?
We always celebrate Christmas on Christmas Day, so they will have wonderful dinner and open gifts. We've had wonderful donors that have supported our women over the years. I just got a call from one this morning that every year donates a substantial gift for us to purchase gifts then for our women and their children. You know, they've never had gifts like that before. They've right. never had anyone show them that kind of love and, you know, asking why would anybody want to do this for me and my child, someone that I don't even know. And we just always share with them, it's, you know, God gave all of us a gift that we didn't deserve when he sent Jesus. And this is the same thing, that none of us deserve anything, but God feels that we all deserve to be blessed. And we always share the Christmas story with them on Christmas Day as well.
Yeah, that undeserved free gift of eternal life. Everything's done by him. We right. don't need to do a thing. Yeah. Faith, how about you? How does your maternity home, Aid for Women, celebrate Christmas with your women and children, and maybe the men too?
Yeah, well, we have a couple of different things we do. So we're having our client Christmas party where we invite any client Aid for Women has served. We're slowing it down. We've been around since 1978. So now we're only going back 10 years. It's a phenomenal day. We serve lunch. My poor husband dresses up as Santa Claus, and every little rear end in the room comes and sits on his lap. Every kid gets a present. So I've been spending weeks wrapping Christmas presents for, you know, close to 400 kids, and bringing my staff and having my residents in our maternity home. I have them help us too, because we're all giving this time of year. You know, I don't care what you don't have. Let's give what we do have. And we have a lunch. We have a pop-up baby boutique where we kind of collect things from all of our pregnancy centers, bring it to one location. So everyone has all the clients have the opportunity to shop for coats and clothes and diapers and wipes and toys and, you know, whatever we have, we drag to one central location and have volunteers help us set it up. And it's just a really fun day. My residents right now, they're all phenomenal singers, so they're going to be leading carols for the party. They've been practicing. Both of my house moms are phenomenal musicians, so we have, you know, two guitars and three singers and a karaoke machine we're dragging over. They're also in charge of setting up. We like to make sure, I mean, we have Santa, and that's a big deal for the kids, but we always make sure we set up a nativity scene at the Christmas party right by Santa. So my girls girls are responsible for that. And they're really excited about that. They've been decorating tiny Christmas trees to be centerpieces. So we try to get the whole family involved in that party. And then as a home, we do receive, like Dolly said, just a ridiculous amount of Christmas present donations, which is just amazing. I am always in tears with the generosity we receive and seeing my women feel the love through those gifts, you know, and often people will write them little cards and little encouragements. And that's just, you know, it's just the best. I also have a church that will always give us gift cards for Target. And so we do a secret Santa in our house. So every staff member and every resident, we put everybody's name in a hat and everyone picks a hat. And so you, for the season of Advent, you're responsible for praying for your secret Santa. We usually reserve our Christmas celebration into the Christmas season. So typically after Christmas Day, we'll do a gathering where, you know, we reveal secret Santas and we have a big dinner and we make gingerbread houses and all sorts of ridiculous things. Because as a Catholic Christian home, we really lean into the season of Christmas and not just the day of Christmas. And so we drag that out as long as we possibly can in the liturgical season. And really, you know, at this time of year, stay very Advent-minded, preparation-minded, because, you know, like everywhere we look, there is Santa and Christmas music and so many things that are rushing the season. So we try to like hit the brakes, let's slow down, let's prepare and then celebrate when the time is appropriate.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because Advent is such a wonderful time to celebrate, may not be quite the word, but to observe. And I found when I spend that time in contemplation on Advent, Christmas is so much more joyous because a lot of thought goes into God's plan and how he put it into motion. Speaking of Christmas events, do either of you have a story or stories that you can share? Dolly, let's start with you.
We've actually seen some of the Christmas story lived out here. We had a participant who her family background, if she would have lived in her home country, probably would have been put to death being pregnant and unmarried. And understanding that is still a reality now, as Mary would have faced that at the time when she found out she was pregnant and unmarried, just really hits home for us. While we don't share those type of personal details with our other participants, it's something that we keep in mind. And when we share the Christmas story with them, that those were very different times, that we think they're very different times, but often those things are still going on in our world today. And it is Jesus who's made all of the difference. I do have kind of a funny story to share, if I could.
We had absolutely
one of our participants who was due at the end of December, and one of our church partners was holding Christmas concert series, and they took up a love offering during this series, and they were making that donation to Lifehouse that year. And so we would take our residents to the concert at different times. And so one of our residents, group of residents were there. We found out when we got back from the concert, she was in labor the entire time of this Christmas concert, but enjoyed the music so much. She didn't want to tell anybody because she was afraid we would have to leave. And so that is a wonderful story that we always get to share. And the church still shares that story now a couple of years later. They just always thought it was so funny that the music was so good and women in labor won't leave.
Their music caused labor pains. Huh?
Right.
Faith, have you got any stories you'd like to share where your Christmas activities, and there are so many of them, have impacted women and their children?
Certainly, you know, one of our homes is, it's an old convent, so it's next to a Catholic church, and they do the children's mass. They do a living nativity, and it's the cutest darn thing. There's about 50 little sheep, you know, walking around, and total chaos. And I've brought my women there for services for mass, and we go as a community. There was one year, one of the girls was just, she was just so moved by it. She had never seen anything like it, and the kids were just, you know, adorable. You know, she kind of scooted everybody out of her way so she could sit next to me and, you know, put her arms around me and was just crying. And she's, I never knew something like this happened in a church, you know? And so those little things, like for me, it's just, you know, look at those goofy kids, those little sheep are running rampant up by the altar. But she was just so touched by it, you know? And then when we do our little secret Santa, to see the girls get so excited about the gifts they're receiving, but to get even more excited about the gifts that they're giving, and to realize that, like, even though they're mad at each other because someone didn't, you know, clean the bathroom this week, that they really know each other in the gifts that they're giving each other. And it's really just so beautiful. And we even, in years past, we've had some, like, school-aged kids, older kids with their moms living with us, and to see the little kids, you know, we had a little 8-year-old, and she was so proud of the present that she was giving one of the other moms, and she just sat there and just was so excited to see her open it. So the receiving is so great, but also just seeing them so excited about the giving.
Pastor Lloyd, how could we encourage single moms and expectant mothers during the Christmas season?
Yeah, that's a great question. We try as a church to identify some of the needs. We have a food and raiment ministry, as well as a Bridge Life thrift store, you know, which raises resources for our Bridge Women's Center. And we like to, like, let them know we're there for them, especially, you know, I speak loudly to some of the men that have been mentors, you know, in our church, to take an eye, to help and encourage, especially when they have children. If they've got boys, I grew up without a dad and a mom. My mom died when I was 4 years old. My dad had left a year before, and my grandmother took me in. So I have a special heart for single parents, and what we can do to come alongside them. We'll give them a certificate to go to the thrift store, a shopping spree, just identify how we can. We have some Christmas dinner planned as well, that they're given special treatment and privilege. You know, those are the things that you can do to come alongside in this broken world, you know, where those dads are missing in action. You know, God help us get that family restored.
Faith, what would you add?
I would really say just make space. Make room in your inn, whether it is something that they need, you know, a material good, food speaks, people are always hungry. But, you know, take time. If you know an expectant mother, if you know a single mother, you know, take her out for coffee. Take time after church just to sit in that back pew and spend some time with her. These women often feel forgotten. And this is not just single women. It's hard to be a pregnant woman, even if you are married with great support, and you feel forgotten. You feel like you've lost some of who you are. So make space and make time for these women. Check on them. Talk to them. Share your heart with them and give them the opportunity to share theirs with you.
It's been brought up a time or two during our discussions, but I want to emphasize this for you, our listener, that there is such joy to be had in giving. And in my opinion, that joy far outweighs any of the joys I've experienced receiving. So during this Christmas season, this is your opportunity, especially to practice that joy of giving and everything that you will receive as a result. So whether it be your local pregnancy center, your church ministry to the poor, or whatever, but use this time to give, and not only now, but throughout the year. It pays dividends, I can tell you. And you probably know that already, but I just want to remind. I want to thank you all for being part of this very special Christmas program. We're really glad to have you, Faith, Dolly, and Lloyd. Thanks.
Thank you so much for having us.
During Christmas time, Victor, we are reminded that God had his eyes on Mary and Joseph the entire time. And at the same time, we understand that because Jesus is God's son, so he was certain to provide for and protect him so that he could become the savior of the world. And you, the listener, you too are a child of God, and he has his eyes on you and will provide for and protect your perfect plan. He's got your back. Hand your troubles over to Jesus and let your perfect plan pay out.
And you know, Brad, I heard a quote maybe a week or two ago, and it just kept bouncing around my head as we listened to these three guests today. And the quote basically said that your life may be the only Bible that someone ever has the chance to read. And when I look at the efforts of our guests today, and if I look at the way that they have displayed the love of Christ, I would say they're doing a pretty darn good job. This kind of an effort, especially leading into Christmas, is such a blessing to so many people.
Yeah, you're right about that. And that's a very important observation. You know, God had a plan to bring our Savior into the world, and an abortion would have destroyed God's intention for this baby. If you're facing an unexpected pregnancy, even though you don't have the Savior of the world in your womb, God has a perfect plan for your baby too, and he's with you every step of the way.
And you know, I want to encourage you, our listener, to go to our website, lifeissues.org. There you'll find an abundance of resources, pro-life information that you can share with your friends and your family members and people who are in need this Christmas season. You'll also find more information about the pro-life perspective whenever it comes to the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, that's all available at lifeissues.org. Be sure to check it out and be sure to tune in next week for another Straight Talk on Life Issues.